going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, rolling along here on a Friday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you. The Bills select Max Hairston with the 30th overall selection in the 2025 NFL Draft. The fastest player in the draft this year, at least at the Combine. And like I said, I don't think anybody who wasn't at the Combine is actually faster. He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash. By the way, he's 5'11", but he also had... He also has pretty long arms, 31-inch arms, and he had the 12th highest vertical jump as well at 39.5 inches. This is an athlete, this is a playmaker, and this is a guy that's going to come in and right away compete for a starting job on a team that, you know, went to the AFC Championship game, has won 5 division championships in a row, and you could argue the only spot on this team that actually has an opening to compete for a true starting job. That's what the Bills did. They went out and got a guy that they think can do that. Starting, you know, right away when he comes in here for rookie OTAs and OTAs and minicamp and all that. So we'll see how it all turns out for Max Hairston. Joining me right now on the Western Hotline, a guy that's covered Max Hairston in Kentucky, Aaron Gershon. Aaron is a Kentucky football beat writer for the Cat's Paws 24/7. I love it and believe in Kentucky. Aaron, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining me here today.
Hey, happy to join. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it, man. All right. Max Hairston, and by the way, we are calling him Max. I don't know if you guys did very often there, but he said to us on a Zoom call last night when we asked, would you like to be Max or Maxwell? He said Max, so that's what we're rolling with here in Buffalo.
That's correct.
All right. I love
you
it.
Got
Thank
it
you
got it right.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what the Bills are getting in Max Hairston overall as a football player on the field and what you've seen from him at Kentucky.
Yeah, I think you talked about it off the jump there. Speed is the first thing that stands out. He has the ability to keep up with just about every receiver he lines up against. And that was something that Kentucky identified him early on. And Kentucky, in the Mark Stoops era, they really, really valued length at defensive back. So you look at Maxwell Hairston, and the length doesn't jump off the page. He's only 5. And you go look at corners like Lonnie Johnson, who's still in the NFL. He's 6'4".
You know what? Aaron, we're having a bit of a connection problem. You keep jumping in and out. So if we could reconnect with him, Josh, and maybe Aaron can, if he's in a different spot, I don't know if it's us or him, but if we could do that. Maybe we could have you give him a call back. Do you still have his number there, Josh? Just want to make sure. Are you good on that? Do you still have his number? Do I have to send that to you again? I think you have it. So Josh will try and hook up Max Hairston. And again, we'll call him Maxwell once in a while. But Max Hairston has said what he wants to go by, so he prefers that. We'll roll with that. He is the fastest player in the 2025 NFL Draft. Ran a 4.28 40-yard dash at the Combine, 39-inch vertical. That's, again, athletic traits off the charts. only 192 pounds, which obviously could be an issue when it comes to tackling. It has been, but we got Aaron back now. Hopefully a better connection there, Aaron. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
You were telling us about Mark Stoops and how they value length at the corner position.
Yeah, they really do value length at the corner position, you know, especially when they had things rolling from a winning standpoint, kind of 2018 to 2021 area. A lot of long corners, a lot of guys who are 6'2 and taller. Lonnie Johnson's a guy that's still floating around in the NFL. He's 6'4. Those were kind of the prototypes they were looking for. But with Max, the speed and the athleticism to keep up with just about every receiver, and then those extremely long arms that you talked about there off the jump kind of let him kind of be an outlier for what Mark Stoops and company trust. So the speed is the first thing that stands out. And then it's just the ball skills. I mean, this is a guy that led the SEC in interceptions in 2023, a guy who's always around the football, just seems to have a knack for it. He became, I believe, the first player in program history in 2023 in a win over Vanderbilt to have two pick sixes in a game. So he's not just a guy that can go get it. When he gets it, he's a home run threat. You know, he had a pick at Georgia that year in a game that Carson Beck, go look, and probably the best game he had in his college career. Max Harrison still had a pick in there. And then this past year, he dealt with, we didn't get a clear diagnosis or just what exactly it was, but he had an infection in his shoulder. So he didn't play the full season, but even early on before he went down, he played through it for a game. And in the game he played through it, he had a pick six. So it's just a guy who's always around the ball, makes up for the lack of height with really great athleticism and long arms, and just a winner.
Yeah, and the ball skills, obviously something the Bills really covet, and they were great at last year taking the ball away, but the speed is something that they really need to help out in the back end. Now, going along with that speed, Brandon Bean said you could see his recovery speed as well. If he gets beat, he can recover. Yeah. It's a guy that, you know, he can really kind of play all parts of the field, if you will, and that includes man-to-man and zone. Can you talk about his scheme versatility and how he could fit here in Buffalo, a team that mainly plays zone but does sprinkle in man-to-man?
Yeah, Kentucky plays a lot of zones, so I'm sure that was something they saw on tape that was attractive to them. I mean, Kentucky runs a very pro-style offense and defensive scheme. That's something they've kind of prided themselves on to try to attract recruits to say, hey, you know, our schemes are very similar to the concepts you're going to see in the NFL. Kentucky's defensive coordinator, Brad White, spent a good while, with the Indianapolis Colts. So there's, you know, a lot of familiarity there. And so they don't play all that much man, to be honest with you, at Kentucky. I saw him a lot more in zone than I did in man. So it should be a comfortable adjustment for him. But the recovery point by Brandon Bean is spot on. There's definitely been times in the limited times we've seen him in man, and that's probably because they don't play it that often, that he has gotten beat down the field, but he does have the speed to recover. And it's something too, where it's been a confidence thing for him. I mean, to give you a story on kind of the character and the redemption and the never give up that Max Harrison has, his very first play here at Kentucky, redshirted in 2021. In 2022, they're leading by three against Vanderbilt at home. Vanderbilt hadn't won an SEC game in 26 tries. Carrington Valentine, who's now a corner for the Green Bay Packers, goes down, and Max Harrison, who hadn't played all year, is thrusted into action, and he gets beat on a go ball on 4th and 11. It ends up being a 40-yard game, and Kentucky ends up losing the game, and he doesn't see the field the rest of the year. I kind of thought maybe he's going to transfer out. Maybe he just doesn't want to be remembered for that moment. He comes back the next year, he wins the starting job, and that just never happened again. And he's going up against, you know, he ends up winning Kentucky's not only a starting cornerback job, he ends up being the cornerback one. He's going up against guys like Luther Burden, Dominic Lovett over at Georgia, all these stud receivers all year long. And that never happened again. So it's really impressive what he's been able to do.
Aaron Gershon joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, the knock on Max Harrison is not a great tackler, not great in run support, partly because he's a smaller guy, right? He said he's 192 pounds. The Bills really do want to have guys that can do that. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, they like corners who can support against the run. But Brandon Bean said it's not because he's not willing, and it's not because of lack of effort.
Right.
It's just because maybe he needs to get a little bit bigger. What did you see from him in that regard, the willingness and the ability?
Yeah, the willingness, I would agree. 90% of the time it's been there. I can think of one play where he did give up a little bit, and it was frustrating for Kentucky staff. It was actually in his very last game. He also, again, had that shoulder injury. I don't know if he was just trying to protect his shoulder there, but ended up, it should have been a 5-yard gain for Louisville, ended up being a 30 or 40 yard run instead of a touchdown drive. But aside from that, I mean, again, he probably was protecting himself, knowing his character. He definitely is a willing run defender. He's a guy that gives it his all, but you're right. The size, and then maybe some of the strength, hurts them there a little bit. At the same time, though, Kentucky doesn't really ask too much from its outside corners in run support. I mean, obviously, if a runner gets to the edge and you have to make a play, sure. But, you know, Kentucky asks a lot of their slot corners in that regard. That's what Andrew Phillips, who got drafted by the Giants last year, probably ended up getting picked for. He was a great, great run defender coming up from the corner spot. So, you know, Max, he's definitely willing. He's definitely able. It's just a matter of adding some strength there, I think. And it'll be interesting. Maybe in practice, he's very close with Ray Davis. So Ray Davis is a hard
yes.
guy to bring down. Hopefully that's something they could rep together and get figured out.
Yeah, last night we learned a little bit more about that. First of all, Ray Davis tweeted eyeball emojis before the pick. So we all kind of said, ooh, is this a Kentucky guy?
And that was us first. Yep.
And then it was Harrison. And then we learned that Max went to the Bills game in Detroit last year, and Ray got him tickets.
Yeah.
And Max told us that's when he first saw Josh Allen, and he's like, I would love to have that guy as my quarterback.
Yeah, he definitely is very close with Ray. And talk about two of the guys that I've covered in my 7 years here at Kentucky that have just been a pleasure to work with and have great stories and personalities and are just genuine dudes. It's Ray Davis and Max Harrison are probably two of the top names that come to mind for me, up with like Josh Hines Allen. I mean, they are just great guys, and that was really cool to see. I wasn't aware of that dynamic there going up to Detroit until he posted that yesterday. So really cool stuff there. And, yeah, I mean, look, Kentucky, you know, his first year here, Will Levis was quarterback. Levis was banged up that year. It wasn't the same guy as he was in 21, but Kentucky's had some frustrating years offensively. I'm sure he'll be happy to get there with a team in Buffalo that is going to put up a lot of points.
I want to ask you about another guy from Kentucky in a minute, but on Max Harrison, one more on him, the off the field, seems like his personality is just infectious. See, in fact, he was, I think last night, like hugging everybody who was drafted before him, tapping him up, right? It seemed like he was already a great teammate just being in the green room, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, you know, most of those guys who are especially late first-round picks, or maybe they fall to the second round, and they look miserable, right? We've seen the clips of Aaron Rodgers a gazillion times, Will Levis a couple of years ago here from Kentucky, just named Lamar Jackson. I remember him almost falling asleep in the green room. Like, all these guys who fall later than they should, usually the body language is not that great. But no, Max Harrison, like you said, he's up there dapping up every single guy, probably from teams that he thought maybe were going to call his name, and they didn't. They picked someone else, and there's no hard feelings. He's just everyone's biggest fan, and that's how he was here. I mean, he just has an infectious personality. He's a guy that's just universally loved in that building, and I think that's kind of what, you know, helped him, again, overcome that one play in 22 that, you know, that's what the fans remembered. That's what the only tape he had that year, like, their odds were kind of stacked against him, but, you know, he was just a guy that was so beloved in that building that the coaching staff was never going to give up on that, along obviously with his talent, and you know, it paid off for everyone.
All right, so could the Bills double dip on Kentucky in this draft? I think it's possible, because the Bills are still looking for an interior defensive lineman, a defensive tackle, and maybe a bigger body. Deion Walker, 6'7", 331. All right, so tell us a little bit about him, because that could be a guy down the road here in the next few rounds that could be on the radar.
Yeah, that's a guy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That I would throw last year out the window for him. I really would, because he played through a nasty back injury, I think. And that just shows you he's willing to do put it all on the line. I mean, look, Kentucky was almost a five-star prospect, and he picked Kentucky over Michigan and Georgia, Ohio State, all the big programs. All the big programs wanted him to hit the portal and leave. He stuck with it, just a completely loyal guy. And then he's playing. I forgot exactly what he said his back injury was, but it was pretty serious. And he suited up, 11 to 12 games. He sat out, a cupcake game against Murray State late. But otherwise, he was out there giving it all he possibly had last year. So for me, that's enough to feel really good about his character. And then in 2023, I mean, he was the best interior defensive tackle in the SEC for my money. I mean, you're talking about a guy at that size. He's listed at 331. I think he's even bigger than that. He's a mammoth of a human. If he gets up there in Buffalo and you get around him, you'll see that. But, he's a guy with 7.5 sacks at that size, was in the backfield, feels like every single play, just a game wrecker that you had to double and triple team to survive against that year. There's a play, in 2023, if he gets drafted, I'm sure it'll be on all the networks, they'll show it, against Florida in 2023, where they dropped him back in coverage. He knocks out the tight end, and it leads to a ball that's up for grabs, and Kentucky's Trevin Wallace, is now with the Panthers, grabbed it for a pick. I mean, he's just a freak athlete, extremely strong, quick feet for a guy of that stature. So, I mean, obviously the back injury is a concern. I'm sure it's flagged by multiple teams. If it's something that's still lingering, I take back throwing out last year. But assuming health there, I mean, that's a guy who I'm a Giants fan, and he reminds me of Dexter Lawrence. Like, I'm not saying he's going to go be Dexter Lawrence. That's not at all what I'm saying. But that's the only guy I can compare him to watching another NFL player, just because of the size, the length, and then the speed he has for a man that's that big. That's the only guy I can put my finger on comparing him to. And I think that was kind of the consensus on him, going into his junior year, and then the back injuries and the lack of production. He's also triple teamed on just about every play because Kentucky's defense really struggled last year. Aside from him, well, really everyone struggled. So teams were just triple teaming him and letting anyone else beat them. So it just, I hope for his sake, because I spent a lot of time with him. I did a feature on him. I hope for his sake he's fully healthy and ready to go, because I know he's a dynamic player and can be a dominant player if he is healthy.
Well, since you opened the door here, Aaron, you say you're a Giants fan and you've watched Kentucky, obviously, now Jackson Dart. He played against Kentucky. He was down there, Ole Miss. Your thoughts on the Giants going back into the first round and grabbing Jackson Dart?
I wasn't thrilled on that one. I hope I'm wrong.
Really?
I mean, Dual Carter, very, very happy with that. Yeah, I've seen Jackson Dart in person twice, and I wasn't impressed either time. I mean, Kentucky, talk about Deion Walker. That was his best game of his season last year. He just made life miserable for Ole Miss. I mean, that was the one game where he looked healthy. I don't think he ended up with a sack in that game, but he was in the backfield. He had a couple quarterback hits. He was really good in the run game, and Lane Kiffin talked about it on and on after the game. But, yeah, look, the thing that worries me most with Dart, I don't necessarily doubt his capabilities throwing the ball or – having a strong arm. I like the way he runs it. My big thing is that offense at Ole Miss, it's very, very simplified. Like, it is a lot of RPO, a lot of play action, and you go to your first read or you go to your second read. It is just, it's kind of similar to Tennessee, where it's so fast-paced and just very simplified. It's great for college because it's really easy for the players to get lined up. It's really easy for the players to execute and really hard for the defenses to stop because they go so darn fast. But it doesn't necessarily always translate to the NFL. I mean, you look at Jalin Hyatt. He was a wide receiver out of Tennessee that won the Biletnikoff Award 2 years ago, and he did it mostly running straight lines past the defense. He goes to the NFL with the Giants, and he can't run routes. So I hope that, Brian Daboll, I still have a lot of faith in him despite what happened. I know you guys love him up there in Buffalo. I'm hoping that a year sitting behind Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, working with Brian Daboll, you know, they get the best out of him. Trust me, I'd love to be wrong, but I was honestly okay with them passing on a quarterback this year, as crazy as that sounds, but I just didn't love this draft class outside of Ward.
All right. Well, listen, Aaron, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us today to give us a little bit, especially on late notice. I mean, I got out of the media room last night. I said at like 1:30 in the morning, and this morning I'm like, I got to find somebody to talk about this kid, Max Hairston. So look at, who knows, if they do draft Deion Walker or anybody else from Kentucky, I might reach out to you again and we'll talk again next week.
No, please do. That'd be great. I appreciate it.
All right. You got it, Aaron. Thank you very much. That is Aaron Gershon, and he is on Twitter at AGershon99. Thanks a lot to him for joining us here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. You want to join us here to talk about and give your thoughts on the Bills drafting Max Hairston, the 30th overall selection. I got up this morning. First thing I said to my son, hey, the Bills got a guy named Max and they call him Mad Max. How cool is that? And then I talked about it with my wife, Yana, and she says to me, this is wild, Josh. My wife goes, didn't the Bills have a guy with the last name Hairston? I'm like, maybe. And she goes, no, I think they did, right? Chris. I said, I think you're right. I go back and remember, that's right, Chris Hairston. My wife knew this. She's like, I remember him. 2011 through 2014. He was only here for a cup of coffee, 3-4 years. Well, it wasn't a cup of coffee. 3-4 years, offensive lineman, then he wound up going to the Chargers. How about that? Pretty cool, huh, Josh?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You got it right. I didn't even know about that till right now, so that's pretty cool. Fourth rounder in 2011.
Well, she knew that, and I didn't know that. That was, shout out to Yana for knowing and remembering a Bills player named Chris Hairston, who was with the Bills. I actually remember Chris Hairston, believe it or not. What I do remember about him was when he left the Bills, he went to the Chargers, and then he was on social media, and he kind of wasn't too kind to the Bills, but it was a time where the Bills were still in the drought. You know what I mean? Like when that happened, and then ultimately, obviously, that changed. But yes, that was a player that played for the Bills. I went back and looked. There's not a ton of guys in the last name Hairston, but there have been several in the NFL. In the meantime, Max Hairston joins the Buffalo Bills, and he really enters a cornerback room that needed some speed, as Brandon Bean said, needed some playmaking. I know the Bills led the league in turnovers last year, but they really didn't get a ton of interceptions from their corners. It's not, you know, they got more from their safeties, DeMar Hamlin, Taylor Rapp. This is a guy that, with the ball skills he has, I think has the ability to be able to do that. And that's where this is going to lie for me. You know, if you know, do I like the pick? Sure. I mean, the Bills needed a guy like this for that purpose. I have no idea how it's going to turn out, but I will tell you this. I like the floor of the cornerback room being raised this offseason. How high the ceiling can be is really going to be up to Max Hairston, and I think that's the only guy. Because I don't expect Tre'Davious White's ceiling to be that high anymore. Certainly not Dane Jackson. We know what he is. Floor, good. Ceiling has to be reached by Max Hairston, or you're not getting to where you need when you take a guy 30th overall at that position. That has to happen. And we'll see if that does here early. That'd be great. Can he start week one? That'd be amazing. Because if he does, and you're comfortable with that, now you know you have two bookend corners for the next 5 years. That would be the best scenario for the Buffalo Bills. In the meantime, round number two, round number three, tonight, I put a poll up at Sal Sports on Twitter. Go check it out. I always say it's Twitter still. You know what I mean. It's X, it's Twitter, whatever. I have a poll up, and the poll is, in the second round, the Bills will stay at 56 and 62, trade 62, trade 56, or trade both. Right now, 44.5% of you say they're going to stay with both picks. I think they're going to trade one. Which one? You know what? I'm going to say 56. I'll go with it. I'll say they'll trade 56. That's my prediction. No idea. What's really crazy is exactly 19.4% of the close to 2,000 votes have the exactly 19.4 say they're going to trade 62 and trade 56. Like, there's 19.4% of you who say they're going to stay at one and trade the other, and then exactly the same percentage have it flipped. It's wild. So we'll see what they do here in the second round and the third round of the 2025 NFL Draft. All right. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Bills general manager Brandon Bean last night hit the podium after the Bills made Max Harrison the 30th overall selection. We'll bring that to you, Brandon Bean, after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.